Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And welcome at a minute and a half past the hour. The Thorn in the Side Thursday. Thorn in the Side Thursday being reserved and set aside for those things that really make us go, ugh. This is The Horn, HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, your home for progressive conversation radio. Available at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com by clicking the Listen Live button, as well as being available on a wide number of other platforms, including but not limited to TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio App Pro for your Android device or smartphone, with which you can even record the show yourself. Then there's Stitcher, the Stitcher Radio app. There's Dar.fm, Streama.com, Roku devices. My goodness gracious, we are simply all over the place. The Horn is. You can get the podcasting address, the feed address, over at whiterosesociety.org under the subdomain for this program. Head On with Bob Kincaid. And you can always get the podcast over at iTunes. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. And I just have a sneaking suspicion we are going to be very, very, very busy tonight. Because as thorns in the side go, we're thorn in the side poor for this Thursday. Let's get things started with a quick announcement. It was very, very gratifying to see that Robert's February 20th Down Under Challenge was met by program's end last night. Now, this evening, we have another coming in from our dear friend, Dr. Allen, down in Texas. You'll recall toward the end of the program last night, I mentioned that Dr. Allen had gone to the Keystone XL Pipeline climate rally in Washington, D.C., and mentioned the fact that he took his son with him, which I think is magnificent. We absolutely have to involve the people who have the most at stake in this struggle. And it's sad to say, but it is true, but it's the 7-year-olds, it's the 5-year-olds, it's the 9-year-olds, it's the 20-year-olds and the 17-year-olds that really, really, really do have a dog in this hunt. Because they stand a real chance of seeing 2100. A 2100 where perhaps Miami, New Orleans, New York, Philly will see the beginnings of climate change-induced flooding. A century that will see, most likely, the expansion of superstorms, of massive, unrelenting drought that leads to crippling wildfire, hurricanes, blizzards, extremes of weather the likes of which we have never before experienced. And so, fresh off that trip, Dr. Allen offers up this evening a challenge to help us make it a little bit closer to what could be a really, really stirring February. We are about $600 away from meeting both the February goal for fundraising as well as having met the January shortfall that very nearly took us off the air. That is amazing and inspiring. And we will get $200 closer to it this evening when, if you haven't lately contributed to keep this going, because this is listener-supported, when you match Dr. Allen's $100 challenge. For every dollar you give, Dr. Allen matches up to $100 in total. So there we have it. And that's how we make sure that there's a march to follow on this February. Because February is near its end. We are but a week away from the end of February, and we have a chance, a real chance, to put February to bed in good shape. And another program note, we will be in Beckley for a Prism West Virginia American History Chat this weekend. I hope you'll join us. These things just get better and better and better and better. If you have never taken the time to watch or to listen to Dr. Bill O'Brien and Professor Keith Lilly, then this would be a great time to start, because there's nothing, no one quite like them. If you really appreciate understanding history, if you really appreciate fact as opposed to the wishful nonsense that comes out of the mouths of right-wingers and repiglicans and teabaggers and birthers and deathers and tenthers and various and sundry assorted booger-eaters, the Prism series is for you. So as ever, they start at 3 p.m. It starts at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 Pacific, and we'll be going at it on Sunday. Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Yes, Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. high noon Pacific, the Prism West Virginia American History Series, brought to you live on the Horn. You can go to PrismWV, PrismWV.org, where there's a chat room and a video player, and see everything that happens. We're adding to the site constantly, so that you can not only watch what's going on live, but go back and see what's gone before, because these are actual, real, live, honest-to-goodness, college-level classes. And it's college-level instruction. And if you've a fascination for it, if you care about history, you know, where we came from, so we can know where we're going, it's all of it up there. I might also add that our good friend Psychoticus has loaded all the videos onto Torrent, at Pirate Bay. Just go to Pirate Bay and look for Prism, P-R-I-S-M, and it'll pop right up for you. So there we have it. The PayPal button is at headonradionetwork.com. So too is the snail mail address, but I'll go ahead and repeat it now just for good luck. It is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower, just like the president, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB, stands for Personal Mailbox, 318, Beckley, B-E-C-K-L-E-Y-W-V, 25801. And I will update throughout the program as the match for Dr. Allen and Dr. Allen's challenge rolls in. No, like I said, it's Thorn in the Side Thursday, and we're going to be busy. And you know how I said that it's kind of important to know the difference between actual American history and actual American civics and actual American culture, as opposed to the wishful thinking and just plain old-fashioned made-up crap that the right wing likes to try to foist on to a largely unsuspecting public? Yeah, this is one of those. Naturally, it has to do with a repiglican, and it has to do with a repiglican who's been a nasty one for a very, very long time. Why, I remember back in the 1980s when this man just about bent himself into a pretzel trying to pretend that Oliver North was not a treasonous thug. I speak, of course, since I mentioned Iowa, of Senator Chuck Grassley. Chuck Grassley. Well, you know, they're out of session right now in the House and Senate. Republican Congresses aren't known for doing a lot of actual, you know, work. So he's back in the district. And when you're back in the district and you're a Republican and you're holding town hall meetings, well, you're in for some fun. We can start with a bit of an oopsie on the part of Senator Grassley, who, speaking to a town hall in Chariton, Iowa, C-H-A-R-I-T-O-N, Chariton, Iowa, I don't know exactly where in Iowa that is. Our Iowa listeners can certainly inform us, but I think it's right next to the Tinfoil Hat Factory from the content of this story. It was a town hall meeting in Chariton, Iowa. Just a little handful of Republican voters there to welcome Senator Grassley back to his home sod, his home turf. And the floor was opened for questions directed to His Excellency, the Senator. Just giving you a little time here. Go ahead, get the tennis ball and the duct tape and get in the chair. Because there's going to be some of that. Because the level of stupid here is sufficient to make you make small strangulated small animal, forest creature, woodland animal noises. Let us, as they say in the professional broadcasting business, go to the tape.
They're saying that they're going to start in 2013 putting microchips in government workers, and then any kid that enrolls in school, starting in preschool, will have a microchip implanted in them so that they can track them. It will have all their health care right on them, and they'll use an ID scanner when you go to the doctor. Is that true?
Well, Horn family, is it? Is this the part where I queue up? Wait a minute. See what happens when you let the Congress go home to the district. They get back in town and, well, the crazies just start scurrying out. Let me see if I can just kind of... I've played it so many times. Let me see if I can just get to the seminal part of this. We all know I love this song. It's one of my favorites.
I've got plenty of job in Chesterfield too, but I feel like crying. I wish I had a heart of ice, a heart like
now we can listen for a minute, can't we? Broadcasting from where? Did I miss my favorite line? We'll know in a second. Yeah, we missed it. Back up. Yeah, here it is. Here it is. I'm Lester the Ninth Wine. Hello, Baton Rouge. Won't you turn your radio down? Respect the 7 seconds of May we use. So you say there's a race of men in the trees. You're for tough legislation. Thanks for calling. Wait on my calls like this. Yeah. I wait all night. Oh, we wait all night for Republican question askers at Claret and Iowa town hall meetings like these. Wait a minute. I want to see if I can do something here. Hang on. Just doing this on the fly.
They're saying that they're going to start in 2013 putting microchips in government workers, and then any kid that enrolls in school, starting in preschool, will have a microchip implanted in them.
You'd never believe it if you hadn't heard it yourself. I remember a long, long time ago, the world was young, I was too, and I met a man who earnestly told me that he was A, in a very small county in West Virginia, for purposes of recruiting members of the Fairfax County Volunteer Fire Department. Okay. It's kind of like talking to looking back, it was very much like talking to a Ron Paul person. He'd been sent to that small county in West Virginia to recruit members for the Fairfax County Volunteer Fire Department, and that he received his recruiting orders through his flashlight from the CIA. Now, I'm not making sport of mental illness. But I don't think, because I don't think it's mental illness anymore when it's overtaken something like 47% of the country. I want to know, is that true? I want to know, have you ever seen the rain falling down on a sunny day? If it wasn't Charles Grassley, you'd almost feel sorry for him. He knows this guy's nuts. No, no, he doesn't. What he knows is that he's dealing with someone who's been listening to Alex Jones and Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh and Michael Savage and Laura Ingraham and just has this filthy, toxic stew of right-wing paranoia and bizarreness running into his ear and doing Star Trek-y Wrath of Khan things inside his brain pan. Every day. Subject line from Dr. John. Microchips! Exclamation point. Microchips in government workers and school kids? Used to be you had to subscribe to the John Birch newsletter to get that level of quality discourse. Now it comes from our senators. Nice use of the Fox News style book there, too. Is that true? I'm not saying it is. I'm just pooping it out into the body politic. You think them chips are activated by fluoride in drinking water, ice cream, children's ice cream mandrake? You ever seen a commie drink a glass of water, mandrake? Vodka, that's what they drink, isn't it? Microchips in our children. Eek. Oh, but we're not done. Now that's Senator Grassley's constituent there. I'm sure there's a host of things that you can ask questions about out in Iowa. I mean, you could ask about, oh, I don't know, the pending case in the Supreme Court. What does Senator Grassley think about the fact that one lone man is standing up against Monsanto, who has sued him because he accidentally wound up with some of their genetic pollution in his seeds? That's really going to be decided by the Supreme Court, whether a man who did not lift a finger, who has no ability to control the weather or the wind, is liable for thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars to Monsanto Corporation because they polluted his crop with their genetically modified materials. Anybody want to bet how that case is going to fall out? Kind of wish it hadn't gone to the Supreme Court, don't you? Because it's going to open the floodgates. There are numbers out there already that suggest that we're eating untold amounts of genetically... Hell, at this point, we're genetically modified. Goat genes and bug genes and salamander genes, you know, in your soybeans and your corn. Never mind the fluoride, mandrake. Yeah, I'd like to hear Senator Grassley opine about that. But Slewfoot McGillicuddy here, no, he's worried he's going to get chipped. Oh, F me running. I mean, shucks, they got gay marriage in Iowa. Why not ask a gay marriage question to Senator Grassley? No. No. We're going to go back to the whole thing, because I want you to hear how Senator Grassley answers, because that's actually the punchline to all of this. And we need to hear it of a piece. Jim pointing out, by the way, the Army toyed with ideas like this in the 1980s. Now RFID devices are being planted in purchases to follow the buyer after purchase. Heard about this, Steely Bob? got one in my key card to get into the AIC headquarters building. It's given me a terrible urge to consume fluoride. Don't you love the urgency in the guy's voice? Is this true? Marveline and I want to know, when the Obamacare kicks in, are they going to put one of them Muslim socialist Kenyan
chips in our necks, and we're going to have to walk. That'll be worse than the FEMA re-education camps. That's what Alex Jones and David Barton done told me.
They're saying that they're going to start in 2013 putting microchips in government.
Who the F are they? They're saying they're going to start. See, that's one of those imprecisions that's inherent in the English language. You've got this use of the word that you know, you've got a dependent clause using the same pronoun that's in the subject of the, and they're not, are they the same they? I don't know.
They're saying that they're going to start in 2013 putting microchips in government workers, and then any kid that enrolls in school, starting in preschool, will have a microchip implanted in them.
See, that Kenyan Muslim socialist, he's so inscrutable. That's why he wants all of our little precious American Second Amendment children going to mandatory preschool so they can put microchips in them. Microchips in our babies. And government workers. And then the government workers will track us down. Me and Marvelline was watching Invasion of the Body Snatchers the other night, and I think it's about the chipping.
When the last thing this guy saw that was called a chip probably had the word cow in front of it.
The morbid fear, the urgency, and they're gonna. See, this is the triumph of right-wing media. Right-wing hate media doesn't need to put a name or a face to anything. Right-wing media does best when it leaves the devil faceless, when it's just a nebulous they. Because then you can attach any face that you don't like to they. They could be Mexicans. They could be gay Mexican progressives. Gay Mexican Kenyan Muslim socialist progressives. Gay Mexican socialist progressive Kenyan environmentalists. They. Marvelline.
Dr. John pointing out they. Another Fox style gem. You want to bet the they is pretty much just Breitbart.com and Freep? And now that Grassley said it, those sites will re-up the story. That right wing is like a never ending positive feedback loop of bullshit. Oh, but Dr. John, hold on. We haven't gotten to the Charles Grassley part yet. You'll know Charles Grassley when you hear this sound. Jack in Shreveport noting, even further, I'll bet the guy's thinking about how the Antichrist, think Obama, is going to put the mark of the beast, think the chip, on him.
Then we won't get to go to heaven with Jesus. How will we ever resist? It says that the ones who will be saved will have to run to the mountains. But, Senator, we ain't got snow mountains. This is Iowa.
They're saying that they're going to start in 2013 putting microchips in government workers.
I halfway wish this was a television show because dudes, they're going to start in 2000 putting government, and Senator Grassley's just sitting there jotting notes, making notes. He's writing with his little Senate writing pen on his Senate writing paper, and then he gets to microchips and government workers, and Senator Grassley raises his head up like, oh, who the, let this guy in?
Thought I was going to have a nice, simple town hall meeting where we could talk about Kenyan Muslim socialism and oh, chips!
And then any kid that enrolls in school, starting in preschool, will have a microchip implanted in them. so that they can track them. It will have all their health care right on them, and they'll use an ID scanner when you go to the doctor. Is that true?
No.
No.
First of all, nothing can be done to your body without your permission.
Now, this is the pay attention part.
First of all, nothing can be done to your body without your permission.
Correct.
See? So, it'd be a violation of constitutional right to privacy.
Wait, the what? But Chuck, you don't believe in that. I know the Constitution exists. So, the Constitution that you follow exists solely in your mind, like just like that piece from The Onion that's become a fallback position for this program. Man, passionate defender of Constitution that exists only in his own mind. But you've opined repeatedly that there's no right to privacy in the Constitution. You know, the right to privacy in the Constitution comes from things like Griswold versus Connecticut and Roe versus Wade, and God knows you don't agree with neither one of them. But now you're trying to reassure Slewfoot Dingleberry over here that the Obama administration's not going to come and put a chip in his neck so that they can find out about his hemorrhoids every time he walks past a scanner? Snicker up there, some Kenyan Muslim socialist sleeves at it. There goes Slewfoot Dingleberry. He's my God. He's got. Look at that. Look at that. Look what we got off the scanner here. That man's got hemorrhoids the size of silver dollars. See, that's how the scanners work. And they record all the things your brain organ thinks. And then in the night they come for you and they take you away to the FEMA reeducation camp right out there down the NAFTA superhighway. The next thing you know, you're singing the Kenyan national anthem and eating organic food. Trying to stop Tarzan's pipeline. Oh, you done liberalized. But I must admit, it's mighty nice of Charles Grassley, in the middle of having a very bad day, to acknowledge that there's a right to privacy in the Constitution. Now, this probably means that when he gets back to Washington, Fat Tony Scalia is going to put his Tom Ass More Ass hat on and pay Chuck a visit. Hey, Chuck, come here. What's this about you and a right to privacy? You know there ain't no right to privacy. It ain't the Constitution. What are you telling that Slewfoot Dingleberry about the right to privacy, huh? Well, I got to slap you. Just for the sake of statistical, right, Senator Grassley, gets a zero pro-choice score from the National Abortion Rights Action League. That might have to be revised now. That might be good for a quarter point uptick, admitting that there's a right to privacy. But there he was, between the devil and the deep blue sea. You either have to tell people that there's a right to privacy so that the Kenyan Muslim socialist can't chip them, you know, in their sleep or with a blowgun or however it is them Kenyan Muslim socialists do it. Or you have to deal with the ensuing headlines, things like Senator Grassley agrees Obama administration plans to chip all preschoolers and government workers. Oh, dear God, how fast would that thing get legs? I expect a complete retraction on the part of Senator Grassley no later than tomorrow. But that ain't all. Oh, no. Fritz writing in from Arkansas, them RFID chips. Where is the echo and bad audio from a preacher speaking at the back of the room coming over the AM radio late at night, abruptly giving way to announcer hustling donations, a tape series, and the mailing address? That's Alex Jones, Fritz. It's only $29. It's only $29.95. The Obama RFID chip revolution to usher in the New World Order and bring the blue helmets to Lubbock. Just $29.95. Better get your guns before they do. It was. It really was. It was a bad day for the Constitution that exists solely in the thin gray settlings that slosh around between the ear holes of Senator Charles Grassley and pass for brains. Senator Grassley was one of the handful, 22, I think, one of the 22, well, 21, pasty-faced, doughy old white men who voted against the reauthorization this last time through of the Violence Against Women Act. In another stop, in Indianola, Iowa, which apparently, I don't know, it's obviously driving distance from wherever it is that Slewfoot Dingleberry lives. In Indianola, Iowa, they did not want to know about the race of men who live in the trees, or the chips for children, government workers. In Indianola, Iowa, Senator Grassley was needing to explain why he voted against the Violence Against Women Act, because at last count there were at least two or three women still in the state of Iowa. Y'all ready for this? No, but who is, ever?
One provision that non-Native Americans can be tried in tribal court. And why that's a big thing? Because of the constitutionality of it. For two reasons. One, you know how the law is that if you have a jury, the jury is supposed to be a reflection of society. So a non-Native, well, maybe I better back up and say we're deep. This is trying to deal with a real problem, and I don't deny that there's a problem there. You get non-Native, or you get non-Indians, let me say, to make it easy. You get non-Indians going into a reservation and violating a woman. They need to be prosecuted. They aren't prosecuted. So the idea behind this bill is we'll try them in tribal court. But under the laws of our land, you've got to have a jury that is a reflection of society as a whole, and on an Indian reservation, it's going to be made up of Indians, right? So the non-Indian doesn't get a fair trial.
Got that? Senator Grassley is, of course, fuller of crap than a Christmas goose. That thing that he just created in the Constitution, that all juries must reflect society as a whole? Yeah, that doesn't exist. That is, and I'm looking for the technical term here from 3 years in law school, a bunch of shit. It just isn't true. What the case law says, and what the decisional history is that what you want is a cross-section of the community in your juries. And what Chuck doesn't understand is that the case law, the body of case law that developed in the 20th century, in the late 20th century, post-1950 20th century for the most part, the case law that developed was along the lines of what happens when, for instance, you have a person of color charged with a crime who is tried by an all-white jury. Or what happens when, say, Byron Della Beckwith in Mississippi Stan is tried by an all-white jury who acquits him in a matter of minutes because he's white and he's accused of knocking off a person of color. That's what those cases are about. They were about institutional racism where black folks weren't allowed on juries, period. So what Senator Grassley has said here is that he opposes the right of a woman who is a victim of rape to be tried, or not to be tried, but to have her accuser tried before a jury of her peers. Now, there is a problem, a big problem, a distinct problem in American Indian tribal communities with rape. And a lot of those rapists walk because there is no justice in white communities for a woman who's been raped on the reservation. And this would not be in the reauthorization of the Violence Against Women Act if it was a non-problem. And even Chuck here acknowledges that it's a problem. But he's worried about white rapists getting a fair trial. Because why? See, that's the trouble you get into when you start analyzing this kind of right-wingery. Why can't what is there that would make it unlikely that a white rapist would, an accused white rapist would be unlikely to get a fair trial on the reservation? These are those subsurface bigotries that are so easily maintained and so hard to purge. Because what Senator Grassley has just said here is that an American Indian does not have the capability to dispense American justice under the Constitution of the United States. Somewhere in the back of the thin gray settlings sloshing around between Charles Grassley's ears, the pass for brains, is a vision of what? The gauntlet? Of a scalping? Of a flaying? Did he see years and years ago Richard Harris in A Man Called Horse, and he still has that horror in him of those eagle talons being hooked into Richard Harris's pectoral muscles as he was hauled up in the Mandan ceremony called First Man Hung Up? Is that what it is? This is not the same thing as the line of cases that brought us the Supreme Court rulings that said you cannot exclude people from juries. It just has to look like the community. So down in Alabama, Stan, if you live in a county that is 65% African American and 35% white, you would statistically expect juries to look like that. On the other hand, if, say, you're in Southern California or Arizona or New Mexico, you might expect significantly higher numbers of Hispanic jurors. But to suggest that justice cannot be administered in a tribal court is just, well, it's past wrong. It's just plain insulting. I would dare say that there might be a greater attention to justice in a tribal court than there might be in the county criminal court adjacent. Why? Because they would know that people like Chuck Grassley were watching. Make no mistake, in the world of white privilege, the people who do not wear it are well aware of it. And they know the prejudices and bigotries that come with the lack of it. We could very easily have saved Chuck Grassley for Morian Monday. But this is a thorn in the side. This is what tells you that the Republican Party has no interest in popular governance. The hell ever happened to states' rights? These dumb bastards howl states' rights if somebody brings them a cold cup of coffee. Newsflash to Senator Grassley. The Pine Ridge Reservation is every bit as much a sovereign state as Iowa is. Iowa has courts, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, we do. Our Supreme Court let them gay people get married.
Right. And it was an act of state sovereignty. All this does is acknowledge the sovereignty that already exists in tribal communities and tribal reservations and set-aside lands. One wonders why Senator Grassley felt the need to bring it up at all, except for the fact that one suspects he got a question about it. You know, I'm thinking he was probably more comfortable with the chipping question. Kevin, writing in from Colorado Springs, says, "You didn't give much love to Slewfoot Dingleberry's response to Grassley, which was the following: correct! If Slewfoot's comment of correct could be taken as a sign of intelligence, then we would also assume that Slewfoot Dingleberry agrees with the Constitution given right of privacy, which, as you said, should also give a woman the right of privacy." Well, it does give a woman the right to privacy. When we give the Jonesers the ability to translate the Constitution for themselves, this whole exchange between Grassley and Slewfoot... Sigh. Signed, Kevin, Colorado Springs. Fritz in Arkansas writing, "Oh my God, Alex Jones morphing into Carl from Sling Blade. Bob, you got to quit doing Alex Jones voices. That last Alex started shifting into Carl from the movie Sling Blade, and Alex will soon be asking for mustard and biscuits."
Mm-hmm. French fried potatoes. I like him French fried potatoes. Of course, they're selling Sling Blade over there on the Alex Jones signed in $29.95.
Sergi. Wow. Grass-fed Chucky talked about a right to privacy. Is it opposite day? Will we next hear Rick Perry congratulate Obama on helping cover uninsured people in this lovely state? Will Bernie Sanders switch parties and become a Republican? Run for the hills! It's the apocalypse, says Sergi. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, but we've only scratched the surface of Thorn in the Side Thursday. You know how we talk from time to time about how this country, if it really, really wants to survive, needs to get serious about sustainable energy, renewable energy? You'd almost expect what I'm about to share with you to have come out of the West Virginia State Legislature, and I suspect the only reason it hasn't is because, well, we're a little osley on the uptake, eh, and haven't heard about what's going on out in Kansas, Stan. Kansas Legislature is in session, and presently under consideration, having been introduced in that august, not really, body, is House Bill number 2366 by the Committee on Energy and the Environment. Let me simply share the text with you so that you can scream private, quietly to yourself or get banging away on the email. An act concerning the use of public funds. Remember, now Kansas, bloody Kansas, is just one state to the west of Missouri where a member of the Republican legislature wants to make it a felony, never mind the speech and debate clause, wants to make it a felony for any member of the Missouri legislature to introduce a law modifying or regulating. My word. Well, this is Kansas. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Kansas, Section 1A, try not to scream so loud that the show gets, you see, I hadn't even gotten into it, and you know it's going to be so bad that you already made the stream buffered up. But we're back now. Section 1A, no public funds may be used. This isn't just a thorn in the side. This is a whole rose stem swung broadside. No public funds may be used either directly or indirectly to promote, support, mandate, require, order, incentivize, advocate, plan for, participate in, or implement sustainable development. This prohibition on the use of public funds shall apply to, one, any activity by any state governmental entity or municipality, two, the payment of membership dues to any association, three, employing or contracting for the service of any person or entity, four, the preparation, distribution, or use of any kit, pamphlet, booklet, publication, electronic communication, radio, television, or video presentation, and rabbits. Any materials prepared or presented as part of a class, course, curriculum, or instructional material, and rabbits. Any current, proposed, or pending law, rule, regulation, code, administrative action, or order issued by any federal or international agency, the UN, any federal or private grant program or initiative, nothing in this section shall be construed to prohibit the use of public funds outside the context of sustainable development for planning the use, development, or extension of public services or resources. To support, promote, advocate for, enforce, use, teach, participate in, or implement the ideas, principles, or practices of planning, conservation, conservationism, fiscal responsibility, free market, capitalism, limited government, federalism, national and state sovereignty, individual freedom and liberty, individual responsibility, or the protection of personal property rights, and to advocate against or inform the public about any past, present, or future governmental action that is violative of this act. Sweet Jeebus. You got that? The Republicans in Kansas want to make sure that don't no Kansas taxpayer dollars be getting used to stop a hotting up the planet. God, I wish I was kidding. On the other hand, if the state of Kansas wishes to use money to encourage limited government, federalism, national and state sovereignty, individual freedom and liberty, individual responsibility or the protection of personal property rights, gun laws, free market capitalism, well, that's all right. As long as that free market capitalism ain't involved with no damn windmills nor solar panels. America, 2013. Thanks, everybody. Yeah, I know the stream went down. It was long about the time we started talking about Kansas, Stan. Or maybe Alex Jones. Or I don't know. Is this the communist Chinese? Marty writing in, urgent, you are dark. Not you personally, Bob, but the stream appears to be down. Oh, no, we know I'm not dark. Progressive Conversation Radio with the whitest man in America. I'm one pair of eyes short of a Edgar and Johnny Winter album cover. Yeah, I know. It's back. Get back into the chat room here. That's Kansas, where they ain't gonna have none of that Kenyan socialist Muslimism interfering with the burning of hydrocarbons. And they'll not be having any of that there sustainability talk. The stupid. Really. It hurts us. So that seems, at about 2 minutes before the hour, that seems a reasonably decent place to break the filibobster. I'm invoking cloture on myself, lest I get too worked up. A reminder, we have Dr. Allen's $100 challenge on the table this evening. Thus far, no takers. We're really close to finishing February okay, as well as having pulled up from the shortfall in January. It's kind of important. So hit the PayPal button if you are inclined so to do. We do need to break. Give the phones a chance to hot up. You know the number, right? 304-658-3333. And on Skype, if you wish to get in that way, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. And jump in any way you see fit. Otherwise, hour two is going to be filibobster part two. Any way you like it. But just think about it. All those repig lickings, I mean, and that just happened to bubble to the surface. All those repig lickings out there in all those town hall meetings with all those General Jack D. Rippers out there. Fluoride, Mandrake. They get back into the district and, well, it's Katie bar the door. So, being Thorn in the Side Thursday, it is time for the Green News Report with Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. Fire it up. Light up the phones.
We're running out of week. This is Conversation Radio. This is, in fact, the horn. And I'm Bob Kincaid.
Change had much to say, but man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. Told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy.
The boys are back in town, boys are back in town.
I said,
the boys are back in town.
Shaking what she'd got. Man, when I tell you she was cool, she was red hot. I mean, she was steaming. And that time over at Johnny's place, well, this chick got up and she slapped Johnny's face. Man, we just fell about the place. If that chick don't wanna know, forget her.
Thursday, February 21, 2013.
If we waste this opportunity, it may be the only thing our generation, generations, are remembered for.
Secretary of State John Kerry comes out swinging on climate. BP off the hook again, this time for $3.4 billion. Genetically modified crops do not produce bigger harvests, Plus,
these organizations are, were funded for the express purpose, many of them, of spreading disinformation.
How secretive right-wing billionaires fund the climate change denial industry and get a tax deduction for it.
You're welcome. All of that and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Obama fights climate change, even though change was his campaign slogan. Flip-flop.
Flip-flop indeed. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi, I know you have a lot to get to today, but I have to say congratulations. This week, we begin our fifth year of the Green News Report. We just passed our fourth anniversary milestone earlier this week.
Yes, congratulations.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you. Now, back to the news we've been doing for 4 years. First, the Justice Department has reached a deal to reduce fines that BP must pay for the Deepwater Horizon oil spill in the Gulf nearly 3 years ago. Unless a last-minute settlement is reached, BP faces a jury trial next Monday in New Orleans to determine billions in civil fines for dumping 206 million gallons of oil into the Gulf. But in a pretrial court order this week, the federal judge gave BP credit for oil that was successfully collected at the source of the broken well. That reduces BP's ultimate fine by $3.4 billion. Now it will be no more than $17 billion total.
So BP gets another break in a case that we should say is separate from the one that was settled a few months ago,
right,
where they pled guilty to 11 counts of manslaughter, and yet nobody from BP went to jail for that manslaughter.
That's right. NASA satellite images reveal an alarming drop in fresh water supplies in the Middle East. It's the latest sign the region could face a water shortage affecting millions. The images show a significant loss in water volume since 2003 for volatile areas in Turkey, Syria, Iraq, and Iran. That's nearly equivalent to the amount of water in the Dead Sea. That's due to persistent drought and overpumping of groundwater. NASA warns that this trend is unsustainable and could mean serious trouble for the Middle East. In the whaling wars, anti-whaling activist group Sea Shepherd is claiming victory this week after Japan temporarily suspended its annual whale hunt in the Antarctic. The suspension came after a Japanese whaling factory ship collided with two of Sea Shepherd's vessels. No injuries were reported. Genetically modified seeds do not result in increased production, despite claims from the GMO industry. A new study commissioned by the U.S. Department of Agriculture has found that genetically modified seeds, including Monsanto's Roundup Ready varieties, actually result in smaller harvests with lower yields than conventional non-GMO seeds, directly contradicting the claims from the biotech industry. A new report in The Guardian has shed more light on the dark money network that funds the climate change denial industry, how right-wing billionaires laundered nearly $120 million in secret funding through two U.S. nonprofits called Donors Trust and the Donors Capital Fund. Those nonprofits then funneled millions to a network of over 100 think tanks and activist groups whose primary purpose is to cast doubt on the science behind climate change. In an excellent interview with Democracy Now!, The Guardian's environment reporter Suzanne Goldenberg explains.
These organizations being supported by donors' trusts are actually working to spread information that is factually incorrect, that is untrue.
And they're making money at it. So they're not only lying, it's also a racket.
Yes, that $120 million that the billionaires spent to lie about climate science is all tax deductible. Finally, in his first major address as Secretary of State, former Senator John Kerry came out swinging on climate change.
We need to commit ourselves to doing the smart thing and the right thing and to truly take on this challenge. Because if we don't rise to meet it, then rising temperatures and rising sea levels will surely lead to rising costs down the road. Ask any insurance company in America.
And not just rising financial costs, but also rising human costs, as he said in other portions of his speech.
Yes, it's a great speech. We have it online at our website, greennews.bradblog.com. These are promising words from Secretary of State Kerry, but his first big test will be whether he approves the proposed Keystone XL pipeline.
John Kerry and great speech in the same sentence. Never thought I'd hear it. For more on all of our stories today, check out greennews.bradblog.com. Remember, you can download us anytime via iTunes, listen to us on your mobile device via Stitcher or TuneIn Radio, find us and like us on the Facebook, and follow us 24/7 on the Twitters at Green News Report. From bradblog.com, now in our fifth year of the Green News Report, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Hour number two. This Thorn in the Side Thursday. Many thanks going out to an anonymous contributor, you know who you are, for helping us respond to Dr. Allen's challenge, getting us started. Much obliged. Very much obliged. 10 down, 90 to go. 9 more folks, $10 apiece, and you'd think that would be a fairly simple affair. PayPal buttons at headonradionetwork.com, as is the snail mail address. Thank you. Just to back up, because it was right in the middle of the big expensive internet burp that ain't supposed to happen with a dedicated line, he said, in a sense of profound frustration. It was in the middle of the big internet burp that I was trying to tell you about this thing, and I had a request to reiterate, since it apparently went away. Now, the state of Kansas has forbidden the use of any state funds for anything, and I do mean anything, having to do with so-called sustainable development. That's how far they are. That's how far gone they are in Kansas. Really, not even so much as a pamphlet may be printed. No dues may be paid to any organizations. Nothing. No funds. On the other hand, they were happy to say that notwithstanding the provisions of the statute introduced by some right-wing jackass, that state monies may be used to promote free market capitalism. Well, what happens if free market capitalism wants to take part in sustainable development? If free market, so if a wind energy company engaged in free market capitalism, feel like Beaker from the Muppets. There's a wave of stupidity rolling across this country. And we know who's doing it. That bunch of quivering, gelatinous, terrified white people. I mean, do you know anybody of color? Do you know any black folks, any Asian folks, any Hispanic folks, American Indian folks who oppose sustainable energy, renewable energy? Because I don't. Never have. But I wouldn't have to take you 10 miles down the road to show you some pasty-faced, doughy the white hillbilly feller that's more than willing to say, well, we need coal in West Virginia. Coal is West Virginia. Coal is our heritage. Coal.
Windmills kill our coal industry and windmills. Solar, damn solar panels don't even work. What do you do with a solar panel when it's nighttime, huh, smart guy? What?
Marty with a good inquiry. So, in Kansas, they won't be supporting farmers who save their seeds and reuse them growing season to season? That's sustainable ag, isn't it? Why, yes, Marty, yes, it is, as a matter of fact. And no, they do not support it because them farmers is supposed to buy they seeds genetically modified fresh every season from Monsanto because that's American free market capitalism, except for it ain't. Too early? No, I will not drink on this program. I will not. Kansas ain't going to be supported. But if they now if they want to use some state dollars to build an Ayn Rand Institute of Patriotic American Objectivism, my God, that's open for business. Question coming in from across the pond. Bob, how do you handle listeners that don't have U.S. dollars? Can you do anything with English pounds, for instance? Contributions come in via PayPal from, for instance, well, last night, Robert in Australia's Down Under Challenge. Happens monthly. It's just a conversion from whatever the currency is to U.S. dollars. So, that's how that works. Line's open, of course, but let's go to the phones and see what's happening. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Brother Bob.
Brother Albert.
Oh, my goodness. God damn sustainability. What, are they crazy? We don't want no sustainable nothing.
That's that Agenda 21.
Yeah, we got oil in the ground and coal in them mountains.
You betcha.
And we're more than happy to bring you some of our coal ash, Brother Albert.
Yeah, we're not taking it, but
it's great for melting snow on frozen rivers and such like.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, I should probably put some in my well to keep it, you know.
Yeah, fluid. It yeah, it's real pretty when you shine a light down on it down the well and you see all that shiny slickityness from the mercury.
they're just never ending. You know, I've been real busy over here, but...
I can imagine.
Well, yeah, he's so beautiful.
Oh, man, I wanted to get down there and see him so bad.
Yeah. Well, you're...
But I was about as far away from you and still being in Wisconsin as one human being could possibly be.
Yeah, you were way up north. Way up north. Yeah.
Hayward.
Yeah, Hayward's up there.
But dadgum, it's beautiful, Albert. I mean, I could go, and the roads were nice and clear, no slick patches.
The
blue sky was the damnedest thing I ever saw. That blue of the sky in that cold, those cold of temperatures, it was almost like the violet color of blue of Elizabeth Taylor's eyes. Ah, it was beautiful.
Yeah, that was my first taste of the Midwest was when I was in boot camp at Great Lakes in Illinois. And I remember I just couldn't stop looking up, like when we'd be marching around.
Yeah, it's different, isn't it?
Yeah, New York, you know, it's always overcast. We've got three stars, one of them we call the moon. It's you know, the light pollution, this, you know, where I am, you know, it's, you know, the stars, yeah, you have it too out there by you, I'm sure, as long as you're, you know, in a holler. You
can, yeah, looking the other way from Beckley Stan.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's, but that's, you know, and we do pay, you know, we pay high taxes here. I ain't going to try to, you know, pretend like we don't, but that's the point of government, isn't it? Like, government isn't, you know...
Well, that's the whole thing behind the so-called Wisconsin idea. You know, and people ask, you know, what is it that so grabs me about it? And you know, there's just most of the good progressive ideas originated in Wisconsin.
Well, you know, negative temperatures and, you know, 5 feet of snow over the winter period and these kinds of things. You know,
got to get along.
Yeah, same thing with Vermont. You know, if you notice, a lot of that stuff comes out of Vermont, too. And it's places that, you know, have to deal with, you know, seasonal changes of, you know, of monumental impact. You know, I can't plow the road myself. I can't do it. You know, it's just, you know, if everybody only had to plow the road in front of their house, I couldn't even plow the street. Are you crazy? It would take hours. If everyone had to get a shovel and go, you know, just your front of the street, you take care of what's, you know, no, I don't think so. And what's that going to do? You know, what are you going to do about the, you know, miles in between towns and this and that? You know, I mean, we pay services, and I think in this state we get good value for our services in spite of everything that that goober Walker has been trying to do, and I cannot wait to get rid of this guy. I don't understand. He's like a tick. He's like a tick that's the skin's grown over him or something. We got to get rid of this.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is, periodically, if you go to some of the more loopy places in right wingistan in the blogosphere, mm-hmm. you will find people talking about what presidential timber he is.
Please run. Please.
Please.
Please run. Oh, please. He will get... I don't see... they don't have anybody. They can't even string together coherent thoughts. They don't have any presidential hopes whatsoever. As long as, you know, Democrats kind of keep an ear open to us a little bit, you know, I'm talking about the liberals of us, you know, the liberals who can't wait to install Sharia law in spite of the Second Amendment.
Oh, yeah, that one's in the stack, too. Yeah.
Oh, you know, this goober is such a dumb ass.
You know what's really hilarious? And this has to do with Louis Gohmert, who declared that we've got to have our Second Amendment rights to stop the spread of Sharia law. Somebody, somewhere, gave that man a law degree one time, and to add insult to injury, Brother Albert, somebody, somewhere, let that man sit on a court in judgment of other human beings.
Oh God. Oh.
Yeah, it aches, doesn't it?
Oh, that... Oh.
Hey, by the way, you got a piece of fan mail in from our buddy Isaac. He said, please tell Albert I said congratulations. He sounds very happy, and his 6 weeks are up.
My 6 weeks are up?
Yeah.
What happened?
You know, I think Isaac is referring to when relations may resume, shall we say.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, well, yeah, that's why I sound happy, right?
Yeah.
Come on, Isaac. I got you. I hear you. Thanks, buddy.
Oh, but I had to tell you, since we were talking about Scott Walker, I look now to Charlie Pierce for the nicknaming of any right wing asshat that needs a nickname, and I have yet to find him do a bad one. And his nickname for Scott Walker, the goggle eyed homunculus.
Oh, he is a dead eyed freak, isn't he?
Oh God. I mean that. That poison pen is just honed to a razor's edge.
Oh, God. Ugh. I can't stand this guy.
Well, but did you go vote Tuesday?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
I didn't. No, we didn't have a vote here. Not in my county.
No. The state Supreme Court primary?
No.
I got to figure out how that works.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's only districts.
Well, you've got a woman by the name of and you know, one of those you can't make this name up. You've got a woman by the a right winger by the name of Patience Roggensack. Sounds like something you get from a toilet seat.
She's like out by Milwaukee or something.
She's running for re-election and has got to be gotten done with.
If I missed it, I'm sorry. I'm pretty sure we didn't have one, but we might have. You know, I've been a little bit, you know.
Yeah, you've been otherwise engaged.
Yeah, he's a good boy. He's so cute. God, he's so cute. Just want to squish him.
That little face.
Oh, he's just, yeah, he's just.
Well, don't take him flying, though, Brother Albert, because some drunk-ass defense contractor from Idaho might tell your lovely wife to, might slap him and tell your lovely wife to make him shut up.
I don't fly anymore. Too many years in the military flying around. And yeah, I'm not about to. I don't have anywhere to go that I got to fly. And if I have to, I'll get a boat. I'm done with it. I don't want to die like that. You know, and I know it's sick. Yeah, you know. But I've got so many miles sitting on my rear end. That's just not. You know, I've been in some hairy flights, and I'm done with it. So, but yeah, that won't happen. And I wouldn't. I'd be in jail anyway because I've already had my run-ins with goobers at the airport, you know, with power and a dog or what have you. It's just, you know, you're bringing up bad times, Bob. I almost forgot about him.
Sorry, brother.
But, no, it's all right. He's, you know, but I want to kind of get back to these, you know, to these goobers always talking about Sharia law, you know, because this kind of stuff gets under my tongue. You know, I don't know where, like, who, you know, they're always like, oh, you libs and you're, you know, libs and Sharia law and they hate gays. It's like, why are you even bothering telling us libs, liberals? Why do you bother telling liberals this stuff? Who do you think is in your face kicking you when you want to put the Ten Commandments in the courthouse? Who? I mean, is it conservatives? I mean, since when? You know, like, who's the one that's trying to keep, you know, prayer out of schools? And you think we're going to just, oh, yeah, Sharia law, that sounds good. Well, we'll get that in there. I mean, are you...
Because it makes so much more, you know, because that monotheism, bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky makes so much more sense if he's Muslim.
Well, chapter 3, you know, once you get to the chapter 3, then you got the complete trilogy. And then you can start believing. Is that what it is? Because that's not how it works in this house. You know, this doesn't fly. I mean, I don't know what's after in the afterlife. It might be nothing. It might be something. I don't know. I know it's not that. So at least I can't say I know it's not that. I'm pretty sure it's not that. And that's that.
You feel a significant level of confidence.
Yeah. I'll be. Yeah. If I had $100 to bet, I'd bet $100 it's not going to happen. But that's just me. I mean, maybe I'll lose it, but whatever. It doesn't matter anyway, right? I just don't get where they just erect these straw men and then, you know, douse
them. They can just knock the stuffing out of a straw man, though, can't they?
Oh, they are tough. They are bad.
Well, just to give people an idea of what it is we're dealing with here, Brother Albert, would you mind if we took just a second here to go to the audio from representing Louie Gohmert?
I'm sitting.
Got the tennis ball and the duct tape?
It's already in.
Yeah, okay, stand by. This is representing Louie Gohmert of Texas, who's all worried about gun safety legislation because, well, you know, if we pass them background checks.
You know, it is for our protection, and the founders' quotes make that very, very clear. And including against a government that would run amok. You know, we've got some people that think Sharia law ought to be the law of the land, forget the Constitution. But the guns are there. That Second Amendment is there to make sure all the rest of the amendments are followed.
You got that, Brother Albert?
That guy, man. I don't even know how to say what he's got in his mouth the way he talks. I mean, what a fork-tongued, disgusting freak. I thought the Second Amendment was to chase down runaway Negroes.
Well, it was.
All right, yeah, okay. I didn't think it had anything to do with enforcing all the other amendments. And, you know, I love it. They always bring up that Second Amendment. They don't like that regulated part, you know. You know, they act like it's the Old West, but they forget that, you know, the first gun laws were always, you know, in the Old West to tell you to check your gun at the sheriff's office. You know,
you can't be bringing the peacemaking six shooter into Madam Bell's house of pleasure and piany music.
Yep. I mean, I don't understand what the problem with regular, you know, they think, you know, they think Sharia law is coming. I don't know who the hell wants Sharia law. Yeah, I think they bring up this, there was a contract or something where it was like two Muslims and it was a Sharia law-based contract or something. And they entered a contract, so that was a contract based on that. And whatever, you know, however it worked, it wound up going, of course, in Florida.
Well, yeah, but see, this is also another example of what Dr. John referred to earlier in the evening as another gem from the Fox News style book. We've got some people who think Sharia law should be law of the land.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be fair. I want to be charitable on this program, Brother Albert. I'll bet you there are some people who think Sharia law should be the law of the land. And there are some people who think that the Old Testament should be the law of the land, and they're called Christian Reconstructionists. And the fact of the matter is, there's a whole bunch more of them, which probably includes Louis Gohmert, than there are some people who think Sharia law should be the law of the land.
Yeah, indeed. And it's like, they always do that. What's that guy's name? The old... it was on Hardball earlier. The old GOP head of the, what's his name? Steele. Yeah, Michael Steele. He's over there rambling about the sequester and how it's a bipartisan thing. Matthews, he sits there and he's like, well, who? You know, I'm over there. I got it on in the background before you come on and stuff. So I'm like, he's like, well, who? Name one. He's like, name one. He's like, well, he's like, well, name one. Name one. And I kind of looked, and I wanted to see the look on Steele's face. And Steele looks, he's like, well, give me a minute. And he looks, you can see he's got his little smartphone out. And then he comes back. Did he name one? No, he can't name one. I think I looked at the vote. I'm sure there is a few, but I'm pretty sure that was a Republican thing, wasn't it? Wasn't it like kind of like they needed it, they wanted it? And it was basically, we always knew that the sequester was going to be this, wedge that they were going to try to use. It was like a barrier or hurdle that they were going to use later on. You know, it was like, all right.
Well, like Jim pointed out the other night when the sequester deal was announced, John Boehner stood up and said, I just wanted you to know that I got 99% of what I wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. And now it's our idea. Okay. These people are reprehensible. And they just, the mask just continues. What mask? There is no mask. I mean, are they not unmasked or is it just me? You know, look at Cruz. Look at his face. Tell me that is not Joe McCarthy reincarnated. He looks just...
Oh, my God, he does. He does.
It scares me. I'm like, holy shit. Get a Buddhist in here. Get me some star charts and shit, because this guy's... Just, and he sounds just like him. Hegel, you're getting money from the Muslim extremists and...
Friends of Hamas.
Friends of Hamas and... Are you... What? What are you talking about?
The Hezbollah Ladies Auxiliary.
Oh, God. I read about it in the Suicide Bomber Quarterly. they just create all this crap out of thin air. And, I mean, he is a McCarthy. He looks like him. He talks like him. He's slimy like him.
Needs is a Roy Cohn. And if you shake the bush a little bit.
Well, Gohmert, no? Gohmert's, yeah. Come on.
Looks
like him.
Come on.
I'm sorry. He does. And, you know, I'm sure there's others. There's always others. And they're always in the dark under their mats. These guys are just, they're unhinged. I mean, they got to do two responses to the State of the Union address. The guy's drinking water. They can't keep it together for a 15-minute blathering of their bullcrap from what they just mentioned.
He's made over $100,000 selling Rubio water bottles.
To rubes. Rubio's rubes.
Yep.
I mean, this shit writes itself. I can't even, there's nothing, we don't need to do anything. They're an, now anything sustainable, we can't, what? Don't you understand what sustainable means, you idiots? You know, it's the same thing with the climate change crap.
Well, didn't this asshat Kansas legislator patently admit that he wants the government of Kansas to be unsustainable?
Well, he's a capitalist, I'm sure. That's his religion, you know. And it's
But to the extent that Kansas state government is run by a bunch of right-wing asshats, I, too, want Kansas state government to be unsustainable. And what's more, the universe, it doesn't matter what the universe wants or doesn't want, the universe has kind of declared that Kansas state government is going to be unsustainable under those rules.
Yeah, and the other thing, I mean, and this is the kind of mindset that these people will exhibit when they'll say stuff like, well, you know, my children are going to have $1 million in debt. You know, when they talk about climate change or any kind of, you know, things that we need to do to fix it. And it just blows me away. It's like, wait a minute. You're telling me $1 million in debt is more real than the air we breathe, than the water we drink. $1 million in debt isn't real. $1 million isn't real. It's nothing. It's an imaginary game that we've been playing for a while. But it's oxygen's real. It really matters, you know? Hydrogen and oxygen bonds together and forms this stuff that's real and we need. We don't need $1 million. We don't need dollars. I mean, and I don't want to get too, you know, crazy over here, but we don't need these things. You know, money is a game. And I know we're playing it and we always play it and we pretend it's real and so on and so forth, but this shit ain't real. Water's real. Air is real. You know, mercury is real. And these are things that we got to kind of keep separated from other things. And, you know, if it costs money to do it the right way, well, I guess it costs money, I guess, whatever the money is. You know, but I tell you what, I sure don't want, you know, mercury poisoning in my children, and I sure don't want, you know, arsenic and all this other shit. It's just, they have no vision to think, oh, well, sustainability, that sounds like hippie crap. Do you understand what sustainable means? Why are you in the civilization? You know, it's like I say this to libertarians and all these guys, I hate taxes, statists, you statists. You hate taxes, you hate laws, you hate all the, you hate anybody telling you what to do. You want to carry an assault rifle to a goddamn grocery store. You want to go to Somalia. That's your libertarian paradise. Go there. I'll buy you a goddamn, well, I would if I could afford it. They're $15,000, but I'd buy you a plane ticket if I could afford it and get you there. If I hit the Powerball, there's a bunch of libertarians that are going to friggin' Somalia. Because they're going to be a camera crew following them, and I want to see their faces when, you know, when all the other guys walk in with their pet hyenas and AK-47s and they walk into the, you know, quote-unquote shopping mall or, you know, supermarket. I want to see their faces, their pasty white faces, and, ooh, I can't wait. Okay, you give me your coffee. You know, okay, here. You know, oh, where's your gun? Where's your this? Oh, you're so tough. You know, they're always talking this big game about how they hate this and hate that, and then they hate sustainability. What the hell's the point of civilization if it's only going to be here for you?
I think you just got all the way down to the ground with this thing. What is the point of an unsustainable civilization? At that point, it's not really a civilization, isn't it? I mean, isn't one of the critical sine qua nons, one of the conditions precedent of a successful civilization, that it be sustainable?
Don't these
jackasses want there to be a United States in the year 2000? I mean, 3000? I mean,
15?
I mean, it's kind of it.
I know. No, it's ridiculous. They are too stupid to have a point of view. And I mean, you know, it's like I'm all about reasoned discussion, but when you start taking, you know, simple facts of reality that, hey, we need to be sustainable, it's not smart business to not be sustainable. What kind of business person are you? They always like to talk about how they love business and love business and love, they love business. No, you don't love business. You love rich people because you want to be one. You know, this is why when John Branson, a billionaire, right, all these billionaires, Bill Gates is getting all their billionaires, because these guys are billionaires. They have more money than anybody could spend in a thousand lifetimes. okay? They've got billions and billions. One of the billionaires, I forget where he's from, he's like, you know, I'm kind of doing this so I don't have to burden my children with this incredible, overbearing wealth. It's too much. And I agree with him. And I think what he's doing for his children is smart. Is his children going to be set? You bet. They're set. They're more set than you and I and everybody listening to the horn will ever be. Okay? Their children are set. But that doesn't mean that they're quadrillionaires. I mean, you know, it's like nobody, once you reach a certain level of money, it's like what Ted Turner said, everything after the first 100 million is useless. And that's how it kind of works. And now you got billions. What the hell are you doing with billions? They should give this crap back. Because you can't use it. You can't. And then what's the whole point of America if not to fight against monarchy, right? Wasn't that like part of our founding issues where monarchy's kind of not right and it's not good? And, you know, they'll say, well, you know, what you want to do is communism. You know, oh, you want all these rich people to give up half their wealth. Half. I didn't say all. I said half. You know, just like what they're doing, what they're doing voluntarily. I think that's a good idea. I think it should be an obligation, but that's communism. No, that's not communism. See, communism was born out of the environment that was created by people with hereditary wealth having more money than they knew what to do with, and it led to decay of society. That's where it was born out of. Now, Karl Marx didn't have the visionary, you know, future, you know, ball that Louis Gohmert does, but, you know, I mean, you know what I mean? He at least kind of identified some issues, a problem. And in a sense, America sort of took some of those things. That's why we have the estate tax and stuff like that. You know, we had our robber baron period. And
well, it's worth understanding, going back, Albert, into our discussion of Wisconsin and things that make Wisconsin good. It's worth remembering that in 1848 or thereabouts, there was an attempted revolution in Central Europe. Germany in particular, and it was brutally repressed, I think, via the work of Metternich, and a lot of people left Germany, and they took their ideas of a progressive democratic future with them, and they wound up in places like Wisconsin. That's how, I was having this discussion while I was up there. You know, they didn't want anything to do with the Yankee aristocracy of the up East Coast, and they damn sure didn't want anything to do with the down South mushmouthed aristocracy and the slave society. They wanted to build a democratic society that would be, there's that word, sustainable. And out of that comes, from 1848 forward, out of that comes the idea of a body politic that is self-sustaining, that is self-supporting, and in which every individual member is made, their lives are made better by their contribution to the greater good. In other words, the American exceptionalism that was originally envisioned in Massachusetts Bay, and about which Dr. Bill opined so brilliantly last summer. It's that American exceptionalism is not every person for him or herself. American exceptionalism is that set of circumstances under which we all work together for the greater good, because we understand that that will make us individually better. And that, and that was born, for all intents and purposes, not in Massachusetts, not in the mind of Thomas Jefferson, but in the minds of wheelwrights and barrel makers and candle makers and beer brewers and meat grinders in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. You know,
sorry, I think I'm going to get I'm just working on my honorary Wisconsin citizenship. That's all.
Well, yeah, you're more than welcome to it. We got plenty of room for you up here. And, you know, but the thing, I mean, I learned this stuff in the military, you know, and you learn this stuff, and not even just, I mean, you know, the military is, as we've already established many, many conversations ago, it's a socialized institution. And
sure it is.
One of the things that they teach you is a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And that's why everybody has to be up to speed, you know, and, you know, that's why you grab your buddy's arm and you help him up over the thing if he can't quite get it, you know, help Private Pyle do a push-up or whatever. You know, you got to get him up there. Eventually he'll be able to do his own push-ups, and that's how you do things. You know, and I love when you hear these right-wingers. They're always, you know, Scott Brown. And I heard somebody was running it earlier this morning. I forget the other guy. He was on Bill O'Reilly or Glenn Beck's nonsense, and He's an actor, you know. I was on food stamps and welfare, and did anybody help me?
Oh, Jesus, that one.
You know, Scott Brown, it's only supposed to be there to help you, you know, and Rubio, he gets his money. It's all
right, but see, you got to understand, Brother Albert, there is a very specific right-wing definition of supposed to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is supposed to help you if you are of the right philosophy and the right skin tone. Because what it boils down to is the right wing is still out there propagating that filthy, filthy, filthy myth that Ronald Reagan, who will burn in hell for that if nothing else, that filthy lie of the welfare queen picking up her food stamp foods and putting them in the back of a brand new Cadillac. Jesus, really, if there's a hell, he's in it, and he's in it for that alone. Never mind orchestrating the death squads that marched up and down Central America for 8 years slaughtering nuns. Never mind that. That right there is enough. That's enough to get his ticket punched in hell.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and, you know, to be real honest, you know, I mean, that piece of crap Cadillac, you know, all it had to be was 6 minutes old that anybody could afford one. They depreciate so fast. You know, having one isn't some sort of status symbol. You know what I mean? I mean, those things, there's nothing that depreciates like a Cadillac or a Lincoln. You know, I'm just trying to say, you know, in terms of reality. And so, you know, like, yeah, you know, you see someone in a Cadillac and they're poor. That doesn't mean that they bought it brand new. Go look on a lot. You could go pick one up for $2,000. You know, they're nothing. You know, it's just, he is a liar. And they have this myth, and they don't care about it. They don't care about the reality of anything. That's why, you know, that's why they could talk about Sharia. Who the hell's talking about Sharia law? I mean, that just blows my head. I just don't understand. What are you talking about, Sharia law? We don't want the Ten Commandments. We don't want the first chapter. We don't want the second chapter. We're not going to take the third chapter, you dummies. You know, they're worse than Time Life used to be. Remember, you buy one book from them, next thing you know, you got cases of this crap.
Somewhere in these Chiricahua Hills, no white man will ever know where the Apaches buried Cochise, the last of their great chiefs. That thing ran so many times on TBS that it actually scorched itself into the hard wire of my brain, as I have just proven. And I never got the damn thing, and I was hoping they might at least have a generalized map so I could have some idea, but no, hell no. You know, such thing as a free lunch. No, we're not going to show you where the Chiricahua Hills are, kid. The internet ain't been invented yet. You'll have to wait to find out.
Yeah.
And John Wesley Hardin, a man who was so mean he once shot a man for snoring.
Yeah, I was a little bit of a different generation, but you know what I'm saying. My generation was, you know, oh, the man bends the coat hanger on the pyramid and gets a shock. You know, I mean, but, you know, it's a self-perpetuating, you know, they're self-perpetuating myths, and they're relentless with it. And they
don't die. I mean, Jesus, look at that business coming out of Chuck Grassley that tribal peoples cannot be trusted to enforce American, you know, Anglo-American style concepts of justice as if they're gonna, you know, tie them to a stake in the middle of the casino.
Oh, the savages! They just see that they're incompetent. I mean, well, look at the freaking turtle over there, McConnell. Look at this guy. He can't even differentiate spoof and reality. Guantanamo Bay guy, inmates getting GI Bill benefits, and he has to ask? What the hell are you doing? You are unfit for your job. You are an idiot of immense proportion.
And see, the time is coming, and I think we're right up on top of it. Really, we badly need less of that much vaunted comity, C-O-M-I-T-Y, because God knows we've got enough C-O-M-E-D-Y in the House, in the Senate. Somebody needs to stand up and say, you, sir, are a moron. And just, now, I've got it right here. I've got my Wonderlic test. Timmy Tebow got a 16 on it. See if you can beat Timmy. And just hand it to Mitch McConnell.
Yeah. You know, I agree. I think there needs to... I think, personally...
We have got to stop pretending. Brother Albert, the government of the United States has become so dysfunctional that it has turned into one long perpetual Thanksgiving dinner in the Capitol. And what I mean by that is that everybody just about goes through it. If you're a progressive person, you approach the holiday season that begins with Thanksgiving with a certain amount of dread. Because you know, we gather together to eat the dry turkey. You know, crazy old Uncle Slewfoot is going to be down there drunk out of his mind by the time the turkey comes out of the oven. And he's going to be going on about RFID chips in government workers. And our little five-year-olds starting their mandatory Kenyan socialist Muslim preschool. And everybody at the table, Brother Albert, has to sit there and pretend that he's really not nuts. And nobody can say, you know, sit down, Uncle Dingleberry, and eat your turkey and dressing. Because you're nuts. And that concept that we all have to put up with at Thanksgiving has extended all the way through every hall of the government of the United States.
Yep.
And we have to pretend that Louis Gohmert is sane. And we have to pretend that Charles Grassley isn't just crazier than a sprayed roach.
Yep. Yeah, they got to pretend these things like they have a valid, you know, something valid in terms, not even just not crazy, that they actually have a valid position on anything, and they never do. I mean, I wish they did. I really do. I'm at the point where I
think if one senator, if one member of the House would stand up and say, "Oh, Representative Gohmert, F you," I would give to that campaign. If it was only a dollar, I would give to that campaign.
Yeah.
Because you know what?
Yeah.
They didn't have any problem doing it with us.
Yeah.
You know, Richard B. Dick, Big Time Cheney.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Leahy, remember? But so,
yeah.
You know, so the poor union Democrats are the ones who have to maintain the comedy. And the poor little Democrats are the ones who have to maintain civility. And it's not like this is new. I forget who the South Carolina vicious, homicidal sicko was that took a stick and went and beat near the life out of Senator Sumner of Massachusetts in what, 1860?
Yeah, who was that? Burr? No.
No, it was some. It was, you know, Mississippi stand, South Carolina stand.
I'll have it in a minute here. I can see the wood cutting relief. I know the picture you're talking about. I don't understand.
It was Representative Preston Brooks.
Brooks.
Yeah.
I don't know whose side I'd be on either of those guys.
Well, in that case, Brooks, here it is. I've got it right here. Preston Brooks was the nephew of Andrew Butler of South Carolina. And he was going to go over and challenge him to a duel. But he couldn't do that because another fine Southerner told him that dueling was something that social equals did, and Sumner was no better than a common drunkard, so he should beat him with his cane.
Oh, God.
Yeah, South Carolina. And you know what he was shot for? Or beaten for? He was beating for speaking out against slavery.
Yeah.
And so, meanwhile, in Missouri,
we've got another right-wing asshat introducing legislation that would put a man, put a another representative in prison under felony charges for introducing any kind of responsible regulation, you know, the kind that's mentioned in the Second Amendment, of gun ownership. For instance, if this law passes and it's gonna go through the Missouri House like through a goose,
yeah.
If this law passes the Senate and gets signed into law by the governor, barring constitutional challenges,
mm-hmm.
If a person introduces a law in the state of Missouri that no one should be able to own a bleeding bazooka, he is liable to be charged with a felony. That's where we are in 2013. The Civil War is being refought, Brother Albert, whether we realize it or not, or like it or not.
You know, and this is the thing that just blows me away with these guys. First off, nobody's talking about confiscating squat. They're talking about regulating, and I call it clips. I ain't calling them the magazines. You know why I call them clips? Because it bugs them. And I like bugging these idiots. They need it, you know, because they bug me, so I'm going to bug them by not using their military jargon, you know, when most of them haven't even served. So.
Oh, I thought those curvy ones were banana clips.
Yeah, well, yeah, see. So that's why I'm going to call them clips. You know, all right. So no 100-round clips, no 30-round clips, you know. And, you know, I mean, I live in Wisconsin. I'm allowed to have all kinds of weapons. And, you know, I have weapons that I just really want to get some thermite because I'm not going to sell them. And I kind of don't even want them anymore. And you sit there and you go, well, you know, what if you got a, well, what do you need the gun for? You know, this is the thing. I just thought, well, what do you need the gun for? Well, safety. It's not going to protect you. It didn't protect that goofy Russian guy who lived in Georgia who had goddamn anti-tank freaking machine.
No, it wasn't much good for the greatest sniper America has ever known. Didn't help him much in Texas either, did it? Texas, no. where you can have as many guns as you can carry.
Yeah, it don't help. It doesn't protect you. You know, it does not protect you in any way. I mean, there's maybe a few little, hypotheticals that we can, you know, muster out that, oh, maybe it's protecting you then. It'll definitely protect you in a zombie apocalypse. It'll definitely get to, oh, so you think you're going to fight the government. Okay, you're going to fight the people with neutron bombs, weaponized smallpox, anthrax, Ebola virus, monkeypox, VX gases and da 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 da, and who else knows? God knows what else. You're going to fight them. Now, if the government was what they, you know, Alex Jones and all these other paranoid idiots think it is, well, they don't care if you're armed. They don't care. It'll be flash of light. You're gone. And it's not, I'm not talking thermonuke. I'm talking a neutron bomb. Okay? They thought about that sucker back in the 60s. Right? That's just, you know, it's an air burst, lets out free-floating neutrons. Those neutrons hit any kind of carbon-based life and turns it into ash, turns it into its base element. Okay? You know, that's all they need. They go in their bunker, they push the button, bye-bye, see ya, have all your weapons you want, it's going to rust in your ashes. You're so stupid to sit there and think dropping off bazookas at the, you know, here, you know, get some cans of beans for your weapon, you know, exchange things. You know, somebody drops off two bazookas or a bazooka and then they show that and say, see what's on the streets? You know, but at the same time, how do you not want regulation? How do you not want, you know, close, even John McCain, for sakes, put a damn close the gun show loophole. You know, and they'll always like, they'll try to say, oh, well, Chicago, you know, oh, Chicago's got the most restrictive blah, 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 blah. Yeah, but Chicago also has Indiana Stan right next, you know, 10 minutes out of it, where you could go to a damn school, a gymnasium, and buy 9mm from some guy, and it's a private sale. You don't need new background check. I don't care. You're a felon. I don't care. And how many times you see that you know, guys will go in there with a bit, oh, but I'm a felon. Can I buy? I don't care.
Well, and the fact of the matter is, how many firearms are there in Chicago that were legally purchased in places like Virginia and West Virginia and Talibandiana?
Oh, exactly. Well, I mean, even legally purchased.
But, you know, just to go back to something you were alluding to a minute ago, mm-hmm. and it bears repeating, these gun goobs,
mm-hmm.
cannot talk about the issue of firearms without talking about, and here's the quote from Gohmert, Second Amendment is fire protection, and the founders' quotes make that very, very clear, including against a government that would ruin a mook. Well, no. No, you know what the founders are clear about? They're clear about, because they included it in the Constitution, they are clear about the idea of treason. And treason includes taking up arms against the United States of America. There is only one crime defined in the Constitution of the United States, and that crime is treason.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So if you're buying your 50 cal BMG, you know, armored vehicle to fight the government, what are you doing?
You are preparing to commit treason. All of these Republicans, Wayne LaPierre, I mean, did you read that thing he wrote last week, Albert?
I heard excerpts. I'm not putting my brain through that.
No, it is, and it's not worth depleting your wintertime Wisconsin brandy supply.
Yeah, no doubt.
but he is. He's out there advocating treason.
Yeah.
You know, when you're talking, when the government comes to take our guns, we're going to shoot back. Well, at that point, you're engaging in treason. You are leveling arms. You are waging war against the people of the United States of America.
Yep. And nobody's coming to take your guns.
And you know, you want the proof of this?
Yeah.
I'll give you the proof. Let's go back to 1921 in southern West Virginia.
Yep.
The Battle of Blair Mountain, in which a number of righteously pissed off coal miners who simply wanted to be treated like human beings and had just gotten done offering up their lives potentially in service to their country, took up arms against a bunch of damn coal companies. The federal government entered the fray on the side of the coal companies.
Yep.
And the leaders of that movement were prosecuted for treason. Now, how much clearer does it have to get, Brother Albert?
Oh, yeah, no doubt, Brother Bob. Yeah, I mean, you know, especially back then, you know. That was running full bore objectivism back then, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
You know, that was... that was the height of it, and you know they were the government because they had the government, and they are the government, and that's the government, you know. And yeah, it took them multiple meltdowns, and you know, making everybody else, you know, don't forget, you know, LaPierre would call them union thugs, and those union thugs got what they deserved, fighting against our righteous government, because back then we didn't have that Social Security communism and Medicaid.
And we didn't have any Kenyan Muslim socialists.
That's right.
Or people out there are trying to bring Sharia law to America. God save it.
Mud babies bringing our troubles. Ugh. Yeah, that's what they're saying. And that's what their acts are. That's what they, you know, I mean, it's, yeah, come on. No, it's not racism. Oh, no. Oh, Glenn Beck talking, what was it, a weekend? Oh, deep-seated hatred of white people. Really? That's what I get out of Barack Obama.
Yeah, and his buddy David Barton. Did you know Thomas Jefferson spoke in tongues?
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
He said things like, "Voulez-vous coucher avec moi?" Praise Jesus.
They're not sustainable. They're not sustainable, these people. And it's like, you know, I was looking at a little map, and they had that, you know, talking, because, you know, solar is coming. It really is. And it has to. And we don't have a choice about it. And that's a good thing. You know, how many cartoons you got to see about, you know, the big old sun, and they, oh, I bet there's some energy down there. You ever seen that one? I know we're talking about cartoons on radio here, but, you know, the two guys stand there looking down at the ground, the sun above them, and they're like, I bet if we dig, there's some energy down there. And it's, you know, I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, I'm sure there is, but look up, stupid. You know, there's a lot of energy up there. And, you know, Germany, you know, they're reaching it. You know, like, they're even cheaper per watt to install than here. And that's because we're not doing it. You know, we're 1% of our grid is coming out of solar. And, you know, when you look at the latitude line, and you really got to do, you got to look at it. You got to see it. And, you know, take a globe and get a marker or get something.
And you know, even more so than Germany, let's try something else. How's about Iceland?
Well,
Iceland.
Yeah, well, they got geothermal.
They got geothermal going for them. They don't need coal.
Theirs is easy. Yeah, but theirs is easy. And we could do geothermal here. You know, don't tell me we can make, you know, 3-mile deep fracking.
No,
well,
we can't, because you're leaving off the important word in front of geothermal, Brother Albert. It's Sharia geothermal.
Oh, God. I know. You know, and it's like, well, look, well, heck. Let's now we're talking about that. You brought me right back into one of my favorite guys, just because, you know, I like him. Is Elon Musk? He's the head of Tesla Industries.
Sure.
Tesla, one of my heroes. SpaceX. You know, this guy. You know, I don't mind him. I like him. You know, show me something that he does real bad, and you know, I'll probably give him a second chance because I like him. But you know, just by his actions, what he's doing is so important, and what he's doing with Tesla, and you know, Tesla's showing a profit. They've done that 8 months in advance of where they projected they would. That makes me proud of them. And when you see that car, that gorgeous, oh God, is that thing gorgeous? It's
yes, it is.
Jaguar, and it's fast. Oh my God, are those things fast? It's from 0 to 60, 3.6 seconds, 20 to 100 in around 2.5 seconds. You can get on an exit, on an on ramp. Some doofus gets up behind you in his big old 4x4. You just poof and you're gone. And I love that 300-mile range. So Broder, I don't know if anybody paid attention to this whole thing. New York Times, you know, car writer, you know, Broder. Basically, I don't know a lot about him, but he's almost, you know, Jeremy Clarkson is that, you know, half of what he says is tongue in cheek, and I think part of it's just an act. You know, he's still even more progressive than any of our, you know, some of our progressives, I guess you'd say. But you know, he's got his, you know, curmudgeon cloak on, but I don't even think, you know, and they tried their nonsense with, you know, Tesla and all that stuff, but what Broder did was just truly despicable. He got his hands on a Model S with a, you know, the full 80 kilowatt battery range and proceeded to not fully charge it on a 300-mile trip that he was going to take, where there are these supercharging stations along the way. Now, Tesla admits that there aren't enough of these supercharging stations, but these supercharging stations are solar-powered, and if you own a Tesla S, free. That means you buy this car. Yeah, they're not cheap. They're not free. But you buy it, you don't ever have to put anything in. And not that, you know, I think it's like, what, comes down to 3 cents a mile when you plug it in at home anyway. But, you know, you can plug it out 20 minutes, you're fully charged, you're zipping down the road, full charge again. You know, and so, yeah, Tesla knows they got to sit there and make more of these stations, and they are, and, you know, these things take time. You know, these people always want chicken and egg arguments, you know, but they don't understand that, you know, just to get to the egg part takes a minute of evolution. And so that's what Tesla's in the process of doing. They got supercharging stations. Now they got them on the East Coast. Before they only had one on the West Coast. Now they got them on the East Coast, too. So what are you crying about? Give them a minute. Anyway, don't make me start yelling. So Broder goes off and tries to say how, you know, writes this article about how the car breaks down on the side of the road and runs out of power and blah, 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 blah. Even though he's sitting there trying to kill it, he's not charging it all the way. And even though the car actually performed and it still had charge when he disconnected the power line from the battery.
Jesus.
He physically did that. You know, and they just did everything he could to make this look bad. And so Tesla released the data. And, of course, there's all these people, well, you know, data shows you whatever you want it to show you. No, data from a computer shows you that he didn't fully charge the vehicle in the 3 times that he did go to charge it. It's like expecting, you know, oh, well, I'm going to test drive this new Bentley, this new Bentley Cruiser or whatever car. You know, the
V16 that gets 3 miles a gallon, right?
W16. Anyway.
True.
You know, but whatever car you want to look at, you know, the new Cadillac, you know, Sport Coupe or whatever, and it's expecting to take that car, put $5 of gas in it, and then expect 300 miles in range. I mean,
Right.
That's not even, what are you doing? You're a joke. And so it's like, you know, once again, and I hope Donald Trump does buy the New York Times, because it's sort of what they deserve. After all these years, they're not the standard bearer anymore. You know, they're just making everybody look bad. And then to sit there and enable a guy like Broder or David Brooks and all these other just, I don't even know, or Tom Friedman's, and all these other guys to just sit there and poo-poo on the future, because Tesla's the future. The electric cars are the future. They are the future. Electricity, oh, what about hydrogen? No. Electricity is needed to generate hydrogen. So, electricity is the future, period. End of story. Without electricity, not even gasoline is possible. Aluminum is impossible. Electricity is what we need. We can generate as much electricity as we want. The power's under our feet. It's above our heads. It blows through our hair. You know, it's crashing on our shores. It's everywhere. It's all around us. We're swimming in. We just need the initiative to grab it. And it's there. We don't have to pollute us. We can have a sustainable world. We can have a sustainable civilization. Oh my God. Imagine that. I mean, you know, we got hurdles. We got Chinese hackers and this and that and all this other garbage. But, you know, and we got Republicans, which I don't know if we'll ever, you know, that's the other thing too. You'll always see this study that shows that they're basically giant amygdala drones. You know, their lizard brains are always in charge.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I love those articles, because it always, the comments proves the article right. Well, I didn't read this article, but I can tell you liberals don't have a brain. You know, that's exactly what they say, always. You know, oh, this article's a bunch of liberal crap. Well, I ain't afraid.
I saw that exact thing. I was over at Ken Ward's Cold Tattoo blog the other day, Albert, and I saw this guy named Steve, who posted something there. You could use the data set that say that these people are saying mountaintop removal makes people sick. There's the most prevalent hardwood in West Virginia is a poplar tree, and you could just as easily say poplar trees make you sick. Stop it. You blame what?
Oak.
I blame the oak.
Yeah. It's the oak.
They're the ones that took out the wormy chestnuts. Right. No, but you're absolutely right. I mean, it is the way that they operate.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to love this. This just came in from Texas Betsy. She said, speaking of solar, wait until I send you the Texas curriculum's take on solar and other quote-unquote alternative energy, grade 5 edition. The fact that we spend 2 weeks on fossil fuels, that's the norm, and only 3 days on alternative, and that we call it alternative, might tell you all you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is, of course, Texas Stan.
Yeah. Louie Comer.
Don't you want to just get in the car and drive down there to his district and start knocking on doors? Just looking at him. Okay, I've seen enough. Next door. Knock, knock, knock. Okay, you too, huh? Knock, knock, knock. Three in a row. come knuckle walking to the door with the drool hanging out of their open mouth and breathing through. How y'all doing?
Yeah. All right, we'll do it, but we need a Tesla Model S, and we'll just challenge him to a race. Because they'll go...
No, you'll need all that electricity for the getaway, Albert.
Oh, we'll get away. No, because we're going to bring a little solar-powered charger, you know. You know, we'll bring it in, you can unflap it. You know, if they could do it for the rovers and the landers and the satellites, I'm sure we could figure out something. We'll jam-pack one of those things. We'll put it in the back, because, you know, those cars do seat 7. You and I will go down there with the Model S. We'll say, oh, that's a fancy Camaro you got there. I bet that thing's fast. Want to make a little wager? How about, you know, if I beat you in a quarter mile, you don't vote for Louie Comer. Deal? Oh, I'm going to smoke that ugly piece of crap. Next thing you know, bam, and that I'll do. That we can go. You know, we'll go on a jihad. We'll go on a jihad, a liberal jihad. Oh, these people, Brother Bob. You know, we want to be sustainable. Then kill yourselves. You know, why not? What are you doing here? You don't want to be sustainable. You know, you don't want to be sustainable, but you care about debt. Oh, every word out of your mouth is debt, 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 debt. But you don't want to be, well, what are you worried about? You know, don't you understand what sustainability means? You know, do you know what that word means? You just don't like hippies. And you think anybody with a solar panel is a hippie.
You know what? I got the perfect thing for you. Whenever I bring up that idea of wanting to go and stare at, say, a Michelle Bachmann voter or a Marsha Blackburn voter or, God knows, a Louis Gohmert voter, the image I always have in my head is from, of course, my hero, Sam Clemens, Mark Twain. Mm-hmm. And he wrote this piece called How I Edited an Agricultural Paper. And just listen to the description here, Brother Albert, and tell me if this just doesn't... Because apparently Mark Twain, Sam Clemens, was well acquainted with the same mindset that has come all the way forward into the 21st century, and we now recognize as, for instance, a climate change denier.
Mm.
Pretty soon after this, a long cadaverous creature with lanky locks hanging down to his shoulders and a weak stubble bristling from the hills and valleys of his face darted within the door and halted, motionless, with finger on lip and head and body bent in listening attitude. No sound was heard. Still, he listened. No sound. Then he turned the key in the door and came elaborately tiptoeing towards me till he was within long-reaching distance of me, when he stopped and, after scanning my face with intense interest for a while, drew a folded copy of our paper from his bosom and said, "There, you wrote that. Read it to me. Quick, relieve me. I suffer." I read as follows, and as the sentences fell from my lips, I could see the relief come. I could see the drawn muscles relax and the anxiety go out of the face, and rest and peace steal over the features like the merciful moonlight over a desolate landscape. The guano is a fine bird, but great care is necessary in rearing it. It should not be imported earlier than June or later than September. In the winter, it should be kept in a warm place where it can hatch out its young. It is evident that we are to have a backward season for grain, therefore it will be well for the farmer to begin setting out his corn stalks and planting his buckwheat cakes in July instead of August. Concerning the pumpkin, this berry is a favorite with the natives of the interior of New England, who prefer it to the gooseberry for the making of fruitcake, and who likewise give it the preference over the raspberry for feeding cows, as being more filling and fully as satisfying. The pumpkin is the only esculent of the orange family that will thrive in the north, except the gourd and one or two varieties of the squash. But the custom of planting it in the front yard with the shrubbery is fast going out of vogue, for it is now generally conceded that the pumpkin as a shade tree is a failure. Now, as the warm weather approaches and the ganders begin to spawn... The excited listener sprang towards me to shake hands and said, "There, there, that'll do. I know I'm all right now, because you've read it just as I did, word for word. But, stranger, when I first read it this morning, I said to myself, I never believed it before, notwithstanding my friends kept me under watch so strict, but now I believe I am crazy. And with that, I fetched a howl that you might have heard 2 miles and started out to kill somebody, because, you know, I knew it would come to that sooner or later, and so I might as well begin. I read one of them paragraphs over again so as to be certain, and then I burned my house down and started. I've crippled several people, got one fellow up a tree where I can get at him if I want him, but I thought I'd call in here as I passed along and make the thing perfectly certain. Now it is certain, and I tell you, it's lucky for the chap that's in the tree. I should have killed him sure as I went back. Goodbye, sir, goodbye. You've taken a great load off my mind. My reason has stood the strain of one of your agricultural articles, and I know that nothing can ever unseat it now. Goodbye, sir."
Yeah, he was great.
But that's it. You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, the editor comes back and says, "Tell you cornstalk, you cabbage, you son of a cauliflower, it's the first time I ever heard such an unfeeling remark. I tell you, I've been in the editorial business going on 14 years, and it's the first time I ever heard of a man's having to know anything in order to edit a newspaper." Now, that's 1870.
Yeah.
And he's anticipating by 120 years. Never mind St. John of Patmos. No, let's recognize our prophets for who they are, because Mark Twain, right then, right there, is prophesying the existence of Fox News and Glenn Beck and Alex Jones.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to have to say peace be upon him after we mention his name, too, just like we do after
yes, sir.
You know.
I agree.
Bill Hicks, peace be upon him.
Yep. Mark Twain, peace be upon him. Indeed.
But you know, you feel, you see Louis Gohmert and you hear that,
because we're in the Second Amendment, stop the Sharia law.
And you just feel like you're the seat of your reason has had one of the legs cut out from under the four that were supposed to be there, and you're just sort of tottering now.
Yeah, they're a two-legged table, these people. They just, My son knows they don't make sense. You should see the look on his face. He's just looking at me like, what is wrong with these people? He's like, yeah, you don't believe in sustainability. Well, stop fornicating then, you sinners. Stop making babies, because that's sustainable, isn't it?
There you go, brother.
Oh, boy. They just, you know, it's a sand. They're just sand, you know? It's sad that they're just...
Well, it's good
deal.
It's good comedy, Brother Albert, but the thing is...
Yeah, they're wasting time. You know, we don't have forever. You know, we have to get shit done. We can't just sit here and let these heel-dragging albatrosses around our neck, you know, stop everything.
Well, you know, Reverbo used to talk about how it was time to just look at him and say, okay, folks, we've idled the bus long enough, we're leaving. But the fact of the matter is, while we would like to idle the bus, stop idling the bus, get in, close the door, and drive on down the road of the future, these numbnuts are sitting there trying, you know, they're trying to take the wheels off the bus.
Yeah, they're chewing them off.
Yeah, not even stone tools. Chewing at the rubber.
It's like if you, I recommend anybody listening to go onto Google. And put troglodyte into the imagery, and you should come into, it's an orange, it's a cartoony picture, and that's what I often see, like in my mind's eye, and it's a guy, it's a caveman for, you know, in a guinea strapper, you know, wife beater shirt, you know, chewing the keyboard, you know. Go look at it. You get everybody, look at it, and that's them. And that's what they are. There are millions of those outside the bus chewing on the tires like that. You know, they are the Sam Squanch. You know, I don't know what Finding Bigfoot's doing out in the woods. They need to go, you know.
Yeah, go to Louis Gohmert's district.
Yeah, for real. That's them, the Sam Squanch. I know it. Big hairy monsters.
Oh wait, we've got an update here. You got to hear the fun. You got to hear the questions attached to the alternative energy unit, Brother Albert.
Goodness.
Fundamental questions. What are some examples of alternative energy resources? How are they used? Why are certain energy resources called alternative resources? What are some of the advantages of these resources? What are there any disadvantages? Well, solar panels don't charge in the dark. Wind turbines don't turn when the wind ain't blowing. Can't argue with it.
No, well, you know, and that may be true. And, you know, that may be a little bit true, and that's why we have geothermal, and that's why, you know.
And generally, but generally speaking, when the sun's not shining, the wind is blowing. That's the way it works on this here planet.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah. Yeah, well, when it's only when it's spinning a certain way, you know. Sometimes that
the way it always spins, right?
Yeah, sometimes it stops spinning, you know.
On days that end in Y.
Yeah, it was in that good book.
You know, yeah, sometimes it, God said it. That, I believe it. That settles it. God, and it says the Earth stopped moving. No, the sun stopped in the sky.
Yeah.
So for that few day there when Joshua needed it. The entire universe reordered itself, and the sun began revolving around the Earth.
Yeah, and what happens if that happens again? And all we have to do is rely on is solar panels and windmills and granola bars. What are we going to do?
Frisbees and wheat checks. Don't forget them. Brother Albert, it's so good to hear from you.
Yes, indeed. You keep on trucking, Brother Bob. We got you.
I'm going to try.
Soon. Real soon. We'll get you.
All right.
All right. Take care.
Bye now.
All right, bye.
The Sage of Southwest Wisconsin. That's Brother Albert. We are still at the... And it could have something to do with the fact that our dedicated, incredibly expensive internet connection has been... Every time I said something nasty about, let's see, Kansas and Missouri and guns, and we've buffered up and gone to hell.
But at any rate, we are still only $10 toward meeting Dr. Allen's $100 challenge. It would be awfully nice not to have to carry that over to tomorrow, because we've got $150 to raise tomorrow, too. And that's how January-style holes are made, although we are better off this month than we were last month by far. A little break. We'll come back. You know, we got about a half an hour of perfectly good conversation radio yet to engage in. The number is 304-658-3333, or via Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N. Either way is fine by me. But it's a lot more fun when I'm not filibobstering. This is conversation radio of the listener-supported variety. This is The Horn. Somehow or another, Sinners Swing by Van Halen seemed to fit the moment. This is The Horn. It's Thorn in the Side Thursday. I'm Bob Kincaid. And I'm simply amazed by the prophetic qualities of Mark Twain. The frustration felt by the man in How I Edited an Agricultural Paper. Well, that's what we get every time we tune in Fox News and hear, for instance, and it's out there, I'm not going to fool with the audio, I won't do it to you. The Fox Blonde the other day, who asked Bill Nye the Science Guy if the asteroid was a function of climate change. Let me go back to Mr. Twain. In about half an hour, an old gentleman with a flowing beard and a fine but rather austere face
entered and sat down at my invitation. He seemed to have something on his mind. He took off his hat and set it on the floor and got out of it a red silk handkerchief and a copy of our paper. He put the paper on his lap, and while he polished his spectacles with his handkerchief, he said, Are you the new editor? I said I was. Have you ever edited an agricultural paper before? No, I said. This is my first attempt. Very likely. Have you had any experience in agriculture practically? No, I believe I have not. Some instinct told me so, said the old gentleman, putting on his spectacles and looking over them at me with asperity while he folded his paper into a convenient shape. I wish to read you what must have made me have this instinct. It was this editorial. Listen and see if it was you that wrote it. Turnips should never be pulled. It injures them. It is much better to send a boy up and let him shake the tree. Now, what do you think of that? For I really suppose you wrote it?
Think of it. I think it's good. I think it's sense. I have no doubt that every year millions and millions of bushels of turnips are spoiled in this township alone by being pulled in a half-ripe condition, when, if they had sent a boy up to shake the tree... Shake your grandmother! Turnips don't grow on trees! Oh, they don't they? Well, who said they did? The language was intended to be figurative, wholly figurative. Anybody that knows anything will know that I meant that the boy should shake the vine.
Then this old person got up and tore his paper all into small shreds and stamped on them and broke several things with his cane and said I did not know as much as a cow, and then went out and banged the door after him and in short acted in such a way that I fancied he was displeased about something, but not knowing what the trouble was, I could not be any help to him.
Daggum! That's Fox News! It really is! If Bill Nye, the science guy, had been in the studio with the Fox blonde when she asked him if the asteroid was a function of climate change...
Well, Bill Nye, the science guy, is a really, really decent human being, from everything that I can tell. And so maybe he would not have torn up his booking paper or whatever it was that sat there before him into a million tiny pieces, thrown them into the air like New Year's confetti, and stomped out of the studio. But would we blame him if he had? How much stupid can this country put up with? Wait a minute. Up with which, how much stupid can this country put?
And I got more.
Sometimes I sit around thinking, wouldn't it be nice if Mr. Twain was still here? And then I think, no, not so much. Because he would be rendered wordless, speechless. He'd take the first slow boat to anywhere but here. That line about, I meant it figuratively, obviously the boy should shake the vine. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Kansas. No public funds may be used either directly or indirectly to promote, support, mandate, require, order, incentivize, advocate, plan for, participate in, or implement sustainable development. This prohibition on the use of public funds shall apply to, 1, any activity by any state governmental entity or municipality, 2, the payment of membership dues to any association, 3, employing or contracting for the service of any person or entity, 4, the preparation, distribution, or use of any kit, pamphlet, booklet, publication, electronic communication, radio, television, or video presentation, 5, any materials prepared or presented as part of a class, course, curriculum, or instructional material, 6, any current proposed or pending law, rule, regulation, code, administrative action, or order issued by any federal or international agency, and 7, any federal or private grant program or initiative. It's pretty exhaustive, isn't it? Governmental entity or municipality, that would include, one would assume, a school board. For instance,
Texas Betsy sends this along from the teacher page. Objective: the student knows that the Earth's surface is constantly changing and consists of useful resources on the Earth's surface. Not above the surface of the Earth, but on the Earth's surface. The Earth's surface does not include the sun. The Earth's surface does not include the wind. The student is expected to identify alternative energy resources such as wind, solar, hydroelectric, geothermal, and biofuels. Foundation. From the time of the earliest humans, the Earth has been considered a resource from which to draw sustenance for living. Natural resources are materials from the Earth that people use, and every feature, product, and particle has been examined by humans with an eye toward usefulness. Oh, Jesus. Because we can't just have things laying around on the surface of the Earth not being useful to humankind. This is called anthropocentrism. Isn't it, Dr. John? In the thousands of years before the Industrial Revolution began in the late 18th century, the population of the Earth was low enough that not much concern was given to the environmental welfare of the planet because nature could renew and replenish the resources used by people faster than they could consume them. Tell that to the people of Rapa Nui. Tell that to the people of the Yucatan. Tell that... Well, never mind. With the coming of the industrial age, however, with its massive factories demanding huge quantities of fossil fuels for production, which in turn resulted in an... Wait a minute. Weren't the first factories water-driven? The first textile mills in England, weren't they water-driven? They didn't necessarily require what was then referred to as sea coal. Maybe I'm wrong. The tug of war between planet and prosperity has become more serious with each passing day due to the exploding population of the Earth and the resulting demand for more resources. There are things here that aren't necessarily bad. But in the last three decades, we've seen a growing concern for the welfare of our planet, and environmentalists, scientists, and an expanding group of citizens are offering suggestions and taking steps to reduce our impact on the Earth. Earth's resources can be categorized into natural resources such as rocks, water, soil, air, etc., and man-made resources, which actually are natural resources that have been modified in some way for our use, like glass, paper, fabric, and lumber. Of all the things that I saw in northern Wisconsin, and this is just because I'm weird this way, I was very fortunate to have teaching professionals who made a real impact on me somewhere along the way, somewhere between age born and I guess my last class was age 28. 29. And I was told once, and I think we know this to be factual, that at one point in time, the entire eastern United States, all the way to the Mississippi, consisted of a vast forest. It had some clearings in it that were man-made. But those forests, it turns out, were managed forests that were unrecognizable to white folks because they just weren't that smart and couldn't realize that the forests themselves had been managed to produce food resources for the people who lived there. And that the population of this continent and the one to the immediate south taken together was larger than that of Europe and Asia combined. Europe, Asia, and perhaps Africa combined. And the people here lived here very successfully. But I know for a fact that a timber boom hit Wisconsin. I think there's a Sawyer on the Wisconsin state flag. And if one thing struck me as being somewhat odd-looking in all of that beautiful frozen landscape, it was the fact that there was not a, that I didn't see a tree more than a foot or two around, because that entire state was denuded by the lumber interests, who needed to provide lumber to the mining interests, because mining has been there before. But the plan that they have for the Pinoki Hills is not your great-grandpappy's iron mining. So yeah, I notice when trees aren't very big, and especially with the vision in my recent memory of the majesty of a giant redwood. Well, because once upon a time, Wisconsin, as was Illinois, as was Ohio, as was Tennessee, Kentucky, Virginia, Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania, Silwa, Latin, Forest, Penn's Forest, were covered with giant trees. Certainly not like a giant redwood, but no slouches either. Bigger around than three or four or five human beings could wrap their arms. And it was gone inside, in many cases, a century. The first thing the white folks did when they got somewhere was cut down all the trees. Virgin stands of timber east of the Mississippi are very nearly non-existent. The teaching aid that Betsy sent along says, whether the resource is renewable or non-renewable, we have learned to reduce our consumption of our Earth's riches through recycling. I think whether we've learned that or not is entirely subject to debate. Though water, soil, and plants are renewable, we can reduce our impact by reusing and recycling. Fair statement. Oil is a non-renewable resource, but many of the products which come from oil, such as plastics and fabrics, can be recycled many times to ensure that we are reducing the quantity of oil we are removing from the earth. Many metals, such as aluminum and copper, are used in thousands of products and can be recycled to reduce our need for additional mining of these non-renewable resources. Here's the fun part, though. Texas Betsy tells me that when they go over this unit and they talk about recycling, well, her school doesn't have a recycling program. Because that sustainability, well, yeah, we can't. So understand what I just shared with you about alternative energies. Arguably, because they are renewable and sustainable energy forms, wind, solar, hydroelectric, geothermal, because they are renewable energy, that could not be printed in the state of Kansas under this proposed statute. Wherever that standard came from the book, that book could not be purchased in the state of Kansas. Preparation, distribution, or use of any kit, pamphlet, booklet, publication, electronic communication, radio, television, or video presentation. Now, on the other hand, if the private fundamentalist come-to-Jesus school that teaches American history from the standpoint of back when the Nazis attacked the Alamo and Davy Crockett, right? Well, shucks, I'm sure there's lots of legislators in Kansas who would like to subsidize the purchase of pandas and people. Are you able to reach your heart out far enough to feel pity and feel empathy and to feel real sadness for the people of Kansas? because that damn near breaks my heart. For a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, who can't have the windmills that are turning on the prairie of Kansas explained to them if government money has been used to do the explaining. This particular right wingery is a sort of it's a sort of institutional intellectual Stalinism. So I guess little Kansas children, even the little Kansas children of progressive parents, and I know there are at least a handful in that state, I've heard from them from time to time. They have to be told that their job on this planet is to continue participating in the poisoning of the planet's ability to support human life. And the right wing in Kansas is happily going to refer to that as education. It is. It is. It is tear-inducing. Doesn't it you? Because it does me. And sweet Jesus, Louis Gohmert.
You know, it is for our protection, and the founders' quotes make that very, very clear. And including against a government that would run amok. You know, we've got some people that think Sharia law ought to be the law of the land, forget the Constitution. But the guns are there. That Second Amendment is there to make sure all the rest of the amendments are followed.
You know, except the freedom of speech. Because you understand that by withholding money, and remember, the Supreme Court has held that money is speech. By withholding money, from the ability to pass on information about how Kansas can go on being Kansas for another century or two, that freedom of speech is, well, dead. And there's not a shooting gun in the world that's going to make it not be. But I'm sure Louis Gohmert thinks, really, that wind and solar, even though there are wind installations and solar installations all over Texas, Stan, I'm sure he thinks that too is some form of creeping Sharia. Wouldn't you love to hear him explain how teaching about sustainability is a government run amok? You want to bet he couldn't do it? Because I wouldn't place that bet. Well, you see, sustainability is the secret is the secret lodge password for Agenda 21. And Agenda 21 is what the UN wants to use to take away our sovereignty and impose Sharia law when it makes America be sustainable. Right? Doubts? Meanwhile, over at the climate rally this past Sunday, some right winger was there with a microphone and a camera, and they stuck a microphone in somebody's face.
Now, this was a climate rally, as I'm sure our challenge sponsor this evening, Dr. Allen, could tell us. This was a rally that was very clearly about about keeping the planet habitable for human life. But somehow or another, some right-winger found this person. Now, this is called What We Learned at the Sierra Club Protest in Washington, D.C. Never mind stop the Keystone XL pipeline. Never mind the threats of massive ejection of carbon into the atmosphere. Never mind rising temperatures, rising sea levels, monster storms, drought, fires. Never mind any of that. This is what the right wing got out of the climate rally.
Now you remember this one. Oh, McDonald had a farm. Oh, no, oh, no, oh. The landman said they do no harm. Oh, no, oh, no, oh. Now the cow is dead and the chicken too. No more oink or cock-a-doodle-doo. Old MacDonald had a farm. What are we going to do? Stop fracking.
Something that plays into it, but I think even a larger role would be the chemtrails, geoengineering that they're spraying in our skies. That looks like this. They're spraying it nearly every day. And they're telling us that the reason they're spraying is to help global warming, but in actuality, they're not. It's weather manipulation, and it's filled with chemicals, and it's making a lot of people sick.
Now, why would someone want to control the weather? Like, what would that do for them?
When you can control the weather, you can use it in war. That's one of the examples he gives in his movie. You can control the population. You can control their weather.
Now, there are little pop-up boards throughout all of this. This is thing number two of things we learned at the Sierra Club protest in Washington, D.C. This is thing number two, and it's entitled People Are the Problem.
I do believe that, you know, our Earth is overpopulated.
Yeah, I had my two children. My two children have had their two children. And I think, you know, not having excessive children, even though I would have liked more, is the, you know, sort of Earth patriotism, if you want to call it that.
Like a one-child policy, perhaps? I mean, some of those kind of things are, you know, I'm all for that. You know, one child, maybe two child max.
I mean, when my boys were in their early teens, I had the lectures with them. I even told them where we kept the family rubbers.
You can't have an economy, a civilization that is constantly growing. That is not sustainable. Really, that's not. So it's not sustainable.
That's what they got out of the climate rally. Here's the text from lifenews.com that goes with that. During a Sierra Club-sponsored protest against the Keystone XL pipeline on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. last Sunday, several of the protesters expressed support for population control measures, including the implementation of a global one-child policy similar to China's brutal and draconian policy. I do believe that our Earth is overpopulated, one of the protesters said in a video released this week by Americans for Limited Government. When asked if it's time for a one-child policy, the man replied, "I'm all for that, one child, maybe two child max." China's one-child policy was introduced in 1979 as a population control measure. The Chinese government utilizes coercive measures, including forced abortions and forced sterilizations, to enforce the policy. The one-child policy is the impetus behind numerous human rights violations and violent attacks by government officials on their own people each year. The thing is, the Earth is overpopulated. And the one thing that would ease that more than any other is to work, sure, there's work to be done in the so-called developed world, but in the global South, to go and make contraception and reproductive health care available to every woman on the planet at her choice.
study after study after study after study has been done, and you find out that the societies where women have reproductive choice are the ones that thrive, while the ones where women are nothing more than brood mares are the ones that fall into decay and collapse. In his new book, blah blah, author blah blah makes the case that unless the declining population trend in the United States changes soon, the U.S. will face what other countries are already dealing with: shrinking populations affecting development in a host of areas, including entitlements, market prices, and even the military. There are probably a lot of lessons we could take away from this. One of them is, don't talk to the effing right-wingers. Just say, who are you? Where are you from? Are you progressive? Are you from the religion? And when they say, no, yeah, we're from Life News, or whatever, or Americans for Limited Government, you say, get your microphone out of my face before I stick it up your hind end. You should see the ads on this website. Pray the rosary of the unborn with liberty and justice for all. Even when we get our message out, we don't get our message out. Jeebus. But that's the close of the program. Thanks, everybody, for joining in. I'm sorry about the technical hiccups. Hopefully we will have somewhat better intertubes tomorrow. If you feel like you missed anything, check out the podcast. Thank you for the $10 contributed toward Dr. Allen's challenge. That'll leave us 240 to raise tomorrow night for Friday on the Front Porch. PayPal button, headonradionetwork.com. Snail mail address, too. Thank you all for all you do to keep this going and making this such an enjoyable thing. I hope you enjoy it half as much as I do, because if you do, you enjoy it tremendously. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky and Texas Betsy in the chat room, our news ninjas Gene and Susan. Thank you to John Fox. Thank you to Ben Birch. Thanks to Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and acheact.org, acheact.org. Go there, learn, pass the word around that it does not have to be like it is in West Virginia, that we can end mountaintop removal, and the single greatest tool we have to do that with is acheact.org. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you. Rick Smith is next on the Horn.